AM Emory and WBZH 910 AM W245CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News,
app.
I'm Rena Roy. In Alabama, police in Montgomery announced that one person is in custody and two others are set to turn themselves into authorities in connection with the assault of Damian Pickett, the co-captain of a riverboat. Police Chief Daryl Albert says the investigation is ongoing related to the assault on the black co-captain and a 16-year-old white male. He also says as of now, there is no evidence of a racially biased charge at this time.
13 individuals were detained and brought to police headquarters for questioning and interviews.
The police chief says the boat had a reserved spot on the dock. President Biden is in Arizona and dedicating a new national monument. The area is near the Grand Canyon National Park. Today's dedication is aimed at protecting sacred tribal lands from uranium mining. In Ohio, a vote today on an initiative that could lower the threshold needed to change Ohio's constitution. The outcome will affect another measure on the November ballot that could limit abortion access. This is ABC News. Good news for users of a popular diabetes drug.
Researchers at the drug maker Novo Nordisk say the diabetes medication Wegovy led to a 20% reduction in the risk of heart attack, stroke, or cardiovascular death among overweight or obese adults. The study included more than 17,000 adults ages 45 or older carrying excess weight or were otherwise obese and diagnosed with cardiovascular disease but no history of diabetes. The researchers say the study findings show Wegovy can have major medical benefits beyond diabetes treatment and weight management. Derek Dennis, ABC News.
The latest stats show the average teen spends more than 8 hours every day on his or her device. Health experts suggest weaning kids off those devices as the school year approaches to avoid suffering from device withdrawal. A first-generation iPod from 2001 just sold on the investing platform Rally for $29,000. The iPod was bought over 20 years ago for about $400. It was still in its sealed packaging and its original blue apple bag. Rena Roy, ABC News.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in Amory. This week, a Chippewa County judge will decide whether the lone suspect in last year's murder of 10-year-old Lily Peters will be tried as an adult or if the case will move to juvenile court. A 15-year-old boy is charged with killing Peters and leaving her body in the woods near her home in Chippewa Falls on April 24, 2022. He's being charged with homicide and two counts of sexual assault. If he's tried as an adult and convicted of homicide, he would have to serve a mandatory life sentence. Judge Stephen Gibbs ruled that autopsy photos and videos would be sealed and would address other evidence as the hearings continued this week. Hearings will continue this morning after four witnesses took the stand yesterday. A ruling on where the case will be tried won't happen until at least tomorrow, the earliest day that some of the witnesses will be able to appear in court. And the National Weather Service in the Twin Cities says that today will be hot, highs in the mid to upper 80s, but rain chances are on the way tomorrow and the rest of the week. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' hot Cheetos chicken on a stick? Deep-fried old-fashioned? Or Pino pretzel popper brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long. Close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino pretzel popper brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' hot Cheetos chicken on a stick? Deep-fried old-fashioned? Or Pino pretzel popper brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long. Close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pinot Pretzel Popper Brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th.
And our winter hours and full menu at scotchamamas.com.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Tuesday. Good to be with you today, Matt, Patrick. Brett will stop on by, as well as Patrick Cooligan. Dr. Joe as well, coming up here at 435. How are you, Patrick?
Doing all right. I was at the ball game on Sunday, and that was a game the Twins were badly outplayed and yet still managed to win the game.
Yeah, well, that's the team. that's going to be the new logo. Is both Minnie and St. Paul just going, somehow they're doing it. I don't know. So let me tell you a little story. Now, first of all, thank you very much to Todd Mickelson, who was kind enough to fill in for me for 2 days, because I left this show on Friday, or Thursday, rather. It was a fantastic show with Ilhana Omar and Anita Gall and Robert Burrill. We had, doing great. Flying high, because I was headed up to the cabin for the weekend. And we had already in the process of packing. We were getting ready to go up there, you know, looking forward to a long weekend up north. I get a call from my brother, who's up there right now. He's up at the cabin. And he tells us one of the guests has come down with COVID. And you're like, okay. And I kind of knew at that point that I wasn't going up north, but I still sleep. I'll tell you what, let's chat in the morning, see how things are going. Okay, great. Because I knew at that point that was not going to happen. And so, yeah, what ended up happening was, you know, and Todd Mickelson's an absolute dreamboat of a fill-in host. I love having the guy fill in. He does the work. He has the fill-in hours. I don't want to yank that away from him, so I let him just fill in the shows. And I had what I'm calling the lost weekend in Minnesota, and I'll get back to that here in just a little bit. I'll get back to that. But I want to take a few moments, because it really is something, and this is one of the reasons I got Dr. Joe on today, is I want to talk to him about this, because first of all, this is something where there are actually starting to see more and more COVID cases pop back up again. I know multiple people. I mean, it'd been months where I didn't know anyone that with COVID, or it was someone distant, or a friend's aunt or someone there. All of a sudden, I'd say in the last 4 weeks, I have fairly direct connections to people who have had COVID or are coming down with COVID. So this whole idea that COVID is not a problem anymore, I think we're starting to eat that. It's starting to come back to us. But it took me, and I took some time to talk about this, because I don't know about you guys, but COVID sucked. You know, it sucked for everyone. Some people's way of dealing with it was to say, I don't care. I want my chicken wings. Your grandma can die. I don't care. Those people are jerks. You know, that's if you had someone who was screaming, I don't care. The public good is no good to me. I want to watch a college football game on TV in a sports bar. If that was someone you knew, you probably don't know them that much anymore, because, like I said, and how many times did I repeat this over the last few years? We lost the sense of what the common good is. You know, as Republicans sit here and scream about, whatever happened to Mayberry? You know, I don't remember Barney saying, the heck with you, Andy. I'm going to go down to that restaurant and I'll cough all over everybody. It was a heck of an episode. Oh, that was a heck of an episode. Yeah. Anyway, he had a flag with him. I don't want to get into that. I did think a lot about COVID and those people. Isn't it hilarious how when COVID was really bad for 2020 and 2021, when it was really bad, that when anyone died, it wasn't COVID. It was whatever else they had. They died of a hangnail. They didn't die of COVID. Remember that? You know how nothing was COVID? Everything was whatever else they had that there couldn't have possibly been. But now those same exact people, now that anyone dies, it wasn't cancer or a heart condition or anything. It was, they got the vaccine. The vaccine's murdering everybody. Well, they had cancer. No, they didn't. They were perfectly healthy until they got the vaccine. No, I'm their son. I should know they had cancer. No, you did. You're a crisis actor. You're not even real. Once again, if you're playing at home, for 2 years, it was, no one was dying of COVID. And now it's, no one dies of anything else but the COVID vaccine. Yeah, rational thought processes. They're loon balls. But going back to the fact that this was a bit of a reminder of the fragile world that we lived in. And one of the reasons why, I mean, it was a reminder of why COVID was really bad. And you wanted to be able to kind of tiptoe around it and sort of treat it like something else. And it wasn't. And that's what we couldn't do with COVID. It led to millions of people dying of COVID because people were not taking it seriously until it was too late. Still people today, face diaper, because they feel as if that somehow is making their argument more appealing. The truth is, and obviously now, first of all, I want to make sure I say this. The person that has COVID, it sounds like they're feeling better. That's the good news. No one else up there has COVID. That's also the good news. But yeah, the suspicion is they might have picked it up at the airport. We're not knowing this individual wore a mask the entire time, so it is unclear when or how they were exposed, but that would have been their guess. My brother had the same kind of thing happen to him a few months ago. He was actually overseas. I think it was in Prague. It was in Prague, and they flew into Prague, and they were both not feeling very well once they got off the airplane, and both of them got COVID and were in Prague, stuck in a hotel room with COVID, which, yeah, I can only imagine what the cable system like, what it must have been like there. I'll pick up the language in a few days. There's lots of weird shapes on top of all these vowels. Anyway, good luck with that. The most important thing is the health of the individual. I've said this from the beginning of the COVID pandemic. I don't want you sick. I don't want you dead. And I don't want you bankrupt. I don't want you sick. I don't want you dead. And I don't want you bankrupt. I don't. That's just me. That has always been the priority. But having kind of been away from COVID for a little bit, there was this part of me, and this was kind of that, I'll call you back tomorrow and see how things are going, which was a callback to what we used to do. It's not the first time we've had people go to the cabin and like anyone that are sick. I mean, we had sick kids, you get some food poisoning, whatever the case may be. In the past, what had happened was what? Either the person kind of stayed in their room and were there and everyone else came up and had fun because there was not a lot of, you know, chance of everyone else getting sick. It just wasn't, didn't work that way. And so that was the option. Or, you know, and sometimes, I don't know about you, but there had been some times where there was one person that was really, really sick. And what we made the decision of to do is to give them a better bathroom facilities and some privacy. We actually went and rented a hotel room and put them into the hotel room. And they, you know, it was for like 4 days of them being sick, but they eventually got out of it. I mean, the worst thing that we used to get on any kind of consistent basis was the flu. And if you ever had the flu, holy God, I had the flu once years ago. I will never not get a flu shot. The flu shot, I was sick for 2 weeks for about 3 days. I could not even walk. I was that sick. I was crawling to the bathroom and crawling back to bed, and that's all I did. Just was horrible experience. But you still, back then, what did you do? You just kind of, you know, cleaned up, and you know, put the person in a room, and you know, they'll be fine. Heck, nowadays you can even have DoorDash and all that stuff drop off food for you. Just say, hey, don't be at the door when I open the door because I'm sick. So, and it's happened. There you go. The fact is, I think one of the things which is an untold element of why we for 2 to 3 years had just a miserable time was that we did put back this inconvenience, this massive inconvenience, which once again is not the problem. Sure, there were the jerks out there. Sure, there were the people that were, God, you know, just stop talking. Just, you know, I get it. You don't think this is a problem, even though your own grandmother died. That, you know, I'm not buying it. Well, that's fine. I'm sure grandma's really happy with you. But the reality is most of us understood there was nothing here to like. There, what's to like here? And that was always the anti-vaxxers, the Republican, the Trump, you know, response was, you guys want to be happy if we get that vaccine? Well, yeah, because less people would get sick. Oh, I'm not going to make you happy. I'm not going to get it. The reality is that this is why this was such a drag and this was such an anchor on many of us, is because it wasn't just the fact that you're concerned about a sick loved one or a loved one's dying, but it was all this other level of inconvenience, which used to be the problem. I mean, that's what we used to gripe and moan about. We used to complain about, oh, we got to, grandma's not feeling well, so I guess we're going to get a hotel room or something like that. And kind of like that was a big deal. And all of that residual disdain that we had that was there, that's what permeated a lot of us and kind of really changed a lot of us. It wasn't just the illness. It was the fact that this was just demanded a level of caution and carefulness, which inconvenienced a heck of a lot of people. But to all of your credits, well, most of your credits, some of you were complete jerks, but to most of your credit out there, you did what was best for all of us, and you tried, and you managed, and you did what you did. Yeah, it was hard for people who had their entire Thanksgiving experience before that was to basically just bring a marshmallow Jell-O salad to grandma's house, and that was it. And suddenly you're at home, and you've got your own family, and they're expecting a Thanksgiving dinner, so you had to make one, or you had to figure out what you're going to do. Those were the inconveniences we used to get upset about. And I'm not dismissing those. I'm not saying that wasn't easy, but that's what was this thing. I mean, this is why there was just this burden, and it still is there, folks. The fact that, you know, here you're hearing me talk about a person I know having COVID, and it dramatically impacted a lot of different things. This is what we kind of have to deal with. And I think the best thing you can do is the next morning, on Friday morning the last week, I get up and of course we're not going up north. Of course we're not, because it took me a few hours, and maybe because I was just so blindsided by this, I wasn't expecting it. But it was like I got back into COVID mode, and of course we're not going back up north. It did create what I like to call the lost weekend, which I'll talk about, you know, in length here for the rest of this hour. But at the same time, it was just having to be malleable, having to be amicable, having to have flexibility. These were things that we had to once again relearn again. Because the most important thing is that people don't get sick and people don't die. And right now, there are people who are listening to me say this, who are saying, so what? People get sick and die all the time. And you're a jerk. And you are a jerk. And I don't need to tell you that. You know you're a jerk. And you're proud of being a jerk. Just, I don't like you. And most people don't like you. That's kind of why it's a, you know, snowball that rolls downhill. This is why you're getting angry and angry at society, is because more and more people are like, you're kind of horrible. You know, that's what it is. But for the rest of us, I want you to be on alert, because this stuff will happen. And it's not like things we used to deal with prior to COVID. It's not like, you know, stomach flu, or they've got a little cold, or there's pink eye, or a kid's got a cough. It's not like those little things. It's much more serious. And if we get to the point where we're just like, oh, well, we'll go up there, COVID, they just stay in their room, they'll be fine. Well, we're going to start really seeing that snowball roll downhill really freaking fast. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Let's take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
It's an absolute must for any true foodie. Vinaigrette at 50th and Xerxes in South Minneapolis offers premium oils and vinegars for the most discriminating of tastes. This is Sarah Piepenberg, owner of Vinaigrette. We bottle on-site, there's no guesswork, and you get to taste test each and every oil and vinegar we offer. Our direct relationship with the growers ensures an uncompromised level of satisfaction. When you need to know you're cooking with the finest ingredients, first contact the independently owned Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in South Minneapolis. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
At Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, we have wood stoves that qualify for the new 30% income tax credit, a great opportunity to get an efficient stove and heat with renewable energy.
Right now, avoid supply chain delays, avoid the fall rush, avoid bad weather installation, and save money because we are now discounting the price on all chimney parts you need for installation for any of Woodland's new stoves and fireplaces.
We can help you with the stove and the chimney planning. Want to do it yourself? We will help you determine all the parts needed with our installation know-how. We have been installing wood stoves and fireplaces for over 45 years.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces has over 35 working wood, gas, and electric units on display at the corner of East Franklin and Riverside Avenue in Minneapolis. Save money. Take advantage of the spring and summer chimney discounts when you buy any fireplace product right now at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces.
Hey, it's Patrick for Zero Res. Believe it or not, barely a month from now, the kids will be back in school. So while you're getting some fresh looks for your kids before they head back, make sure to get a fresh look for your home, too, with my cleaning heroes at Zero Res. Carpets, tile, rugs, upholstery, basically every surface in your home can be Zero Resified, so it's time to call the cleaning pros at Zero Res. It's also the height of the summer allergy season, so it's the perfect time to get your air ducts cleaned. Get that nasty pollen and dust that's been swirling through your air conditioner out of your home. This month from Zero Res, get 3 rooms of carpet cleaned starting at just $129 and take $75 off an air duct cleaning. You owe it to yourself, your kids, and your home to get the fall off to a good start. Call Zero Res today, 952-ZERO-RES, or schedule an appointment at ZeroResMinnesota.com. Zero Res, backward or forward, spells the same.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. So here it is. It's Thursday, Friday morning. I've got a 4-day weekend. I'm not doing my plans, which were in place, were not there. You know, one of the things I talk about is how amazing the city is, how amazing the state is. And so I went out and did a lot of different things. On Sunday, I did go see, I finally went and saw Dial of Destiny, the Indiana Jones movie. I enjoyed it. I thought the last 30 minutes or so were really entertaining. I thought that was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that. Yesterday, I was out at the Minnesota Zoo. I did that treetop tour, which was a lot of fun. I did that. That was a good time. And we enjoyed doing that. I got my son's home because of, it's late summer. He's home for a little bit. So we went for a walk a little bit later and did that. But I want to kind of focus on two things. I want to focus on the Friday, what we did on Friday, and then what we did on Saturday. Because Saturday is going to, I'm going to talk about that a lot because there's, yeah, you'll get it when I get there. But on Friday, what I ended up doing was heading over to the Minnesota History Museum, and they had the Peanuts character, the Charles Schulz tribute that's over there, where they talk about the Peanuts characters and stuff like that. Very cool. I grew up with a Snoopy dog. That was my bedtime buddy when I was a kid. Love Snoopy. You know, it's iconic. I have the complete collection of all the books at home. Love them. My kids love them. My son had a Snoopy dog when he was growing up. Both my girls have Snoopy dogs, although they have other, you know, bedtime buddies that were their favorites. I grew up with them. I loved them. The holiday specials are still must watch during the holidays, particularly the Christmas, the Halloween, and the Easter ones. We watch those every year, and we love them. And as a matter of fact, yeah, even though my youngest child is now 16, yeah, that's yeah, we're watching that. that's not an option. We're watching it's particularly the Halloween and the Christmas one. Those are the ones that you're catching. It's a well laid out thing, but one of the things, and I guess I just didn't realize this, is that our love of Charles Schulz and Peanuts is a lot like our love of Bob Dylan. Sure, local angle, love that. But Dylan kind of left and went to New York City and the rest is history. And sure, he sang about Minnesota. He talked about Minnesota, but there eventually comes a point where he is far longer not from Minnesota than he was from Minnesota. And I'm not saying that I love Dylan. I love Dylan. I love his lyrics. I love his words. But I mean, he was, you know, it's. You know, Prince never left. Prince was always here. This was Prince's town. You know, he always, what was that great line he said? I like New York. I like LA. I love Chicago. I love London, but I like Minneapolis better. And, you know, it's, you know, he stayed. I mean, it was kind of one of those things where, you know, it's, we have a tendency of loving people, especially when they leave. And the same thing goes with Charles Schulz. I never realized, I thought he didn't move out of the state until the 70s. He'd actually moved out of the state well before that, in the 1950s. In 1958, actually, if I'm not mistaken, he moved out to California. Sebastopol, California. I never heard of it. It's north of San Francisco, across the Golden Gate Bridge. He was up that way.
Yes, they have a Charles Schulz Museum in that city where he lived most of his life.
And understandably, they claim him as theirs. Understandably. Yet we here as well claim him as ours. Now, I want to say this. There is one. So you kind of wonder about this. I mean, one of the reasons why he moved out there when he did is that it was sparsely populated. They were able to buy a huge lot of land. He was able to build his own on-site studio to do all of his drawing in. And there was a lot of pluses for it. It doesn't seem like he had a lot of connection to California before he moved out there. But he did say, you know, he was not a fan of the weather and he left. And I know that generally right there, that's enough to them's fighting words for some Minnesotans. But he was just not, you know, had young kids. They weren't the biggest fan of the weather and so he left. At no point, I mean, his comic strip clearly depicted kids in Minnesota, you know, outside of when they was talking to Spike out in the desert. But no, his comic strip was very much a Minnesota-based strip. The winters and the snow and the skating and the summers. And yeah, I mean, he captured that quite a bit, quite well, if you ask me. But he was gone in 58. And that's kind of one of those things. It's like, you know, and I look around the room and there is so much that we here in Minnesota have done and fawned over and loved him. And I'm not saying you shouldn't love him. I love him. One of my favorite stories I tell people is the last day of Camp Snoopy at the Mall of America, we took my son there. We saw the last show they did where they had all the characters come on out and do the dance and the singing and stuff like that. We saw the last show, and considering there was only like six people in the audience, my son was the last child to give Snoopy a hug at Camp Snoopy before Snoopy walked off stage, and that was the last show. That was it. My son gave him the last hug, and that was the end of Camp Snoopy. Now, that was not, you know, that was, you know, there's Cedar Point and that whole thing. I've gone over that before in past shows. We did the sculptures out in the street and stuff like that. And you know, at no point did Charles Schulz ever, I think it became clear that there was a lot of people that loved him and appreciated him from here because they felt as if he was representing Minnesota. He didn't shy away from Minnesota. I believe he helped greatly in helping to build the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame of Eveleth. He helped out with that. I mean, he was a guy that appreciated this. But I also think that going through that exhibit, one of the things I think it was kind of one of those things like, oh, this is interesting. People in Minnesota still like me. There is one thing that was in that article or in that exhibit, and I encourage you to go see it. It's worth it. Apparently, for his high school yearbook, he had drawn a whole bunch of images that were supposed to be included in the yearbook. And for some reason, the yearbook never included them in them. And this clearly upset him. I mean, it does not sound like he had a great time here in Minnesota, which is something we have to come to. I mean, I don't think you pack up and you move to California from Minnesota with no real experience in California if you're having a great time here. And I think his early days were so hard on him and so rough on him that it left him with a lot of grudges towards, maybe not Minnesota as a whole, but a lot of the experience that he had here. He says he kept a stack of letters that he got from schools who wanted him to draw something they could include in the yearbook. And he kept that stack as a way to remind him that the people that when he was a high school kid turned him down or didn't put the pictures in the yearbook, that they were wrong. And he, look at all these people. I kept every one of them because why? Why did you keep them all? Because he clearly had a pretty big grudge. And he enjoyed saying, you know, every once in a while revisiting, and that school didn't like it. And now I'm here in California. I'm not saying you don't praise the guy. I'm not saying you don't love him. I love him. Trust me, I love Snoopy. I came this close to buying all three of my kids another Snoopy dog. Darn tootin'. Maybe a fourth one for me. I grew up with them. I love them. I really do. But it is interesting how we in Minnesota will have people that were here, who stay here, who love it here, who praise this state and love it. And it's not that we don't praise them, but we put that on the same level as a lot of other people who left at a fairly young age and never came back in the sense they never came back to live here. It's not that they didn't acknowledge they were from here. It just is they took off and they never looked back. And that's maybe the most Minnesota thing ever. The forlorn lover looking out the window, waiting for their hero to come back as they talk every day about, aren't they the greatest? Aren't they the greatest? Go see it. It's worth the time. But, you know, it was eye-opening for me that clearly when he left Minnesota, it wasn't like a hard decision for him. It really wasn't. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break, come on back. I got to talk about what happened on Saturday because that was even more amazing for a lot of different levels. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. Kiss me, I liked it better when you improvise a story we had.
Summer is going fast, but Next Chapter Booksellers has everything you need to keep up with your summer reading. From the hottest new titles to timeless classics, Next Chapter Booksellers has something for any taste. Their friendly staff are great at making recommendations for the perfect summer read for you or your loved ones. Plus, Next Chapter Booksellers has a wide variety of puzzles and games for those rainy days. So keep up with your summer reading at Next Chapter Booksellers off Snelling and Grand in St. Paul. More at nextchapterbooksellers.com.
Considering replacing your vacuum? What do you do with the old one? Throw it in the garage? Worse yet, throw it in the garbage? How about trade it in and save? A1 Vacuum in Roseville has been around forever, and they take trade-ins. When you trade in your old vacuum, you save. So if it's time to replace that old clunker headed for the garage or landfill, bring it in to A1 Vacuum in Roseville. You can find A1 Vacuum at a-1vacuum.com or call 651-222-6316.
If you've made the decision to level your home and build new or to renovate, hire Better Futures Minnesota to take it apart by hand. Think before you scrap. Think of the energy and greenhouse gases saved by diverting what can be reused and recycled from the landfill. Better Futures Minnesota can do it for you. Hennepin County residents and public entities, there are funds available to make the environmentally right thing to do comparable to demolition. Check out betterfuturesminnesota.com. That's betterfuturesminnesota.com.
Nightingale is your cozy, comfortable neighborhood restaurant in the Whittier neighborhood at 26th and Lindale. Nightingale has patio, dining room, and bar seating available. Plus, they still have takeout and delivery. Their menu has lots of delicious options like the famous Nightingale Burger and Fries, Ginger Tamari Chicken Wings, Smoked Chicken Liver Pate, and more. They're open from 5 p.m. to 1 a.m. daily with their full menu until midnight. So make the friendly neighborhood Nightingale your go-to restaurant in South Minneapolis. Place an order, make a reservation, and more at nightingalempls.com.
Is your remote workforce putting your company at risk? Cyber criminals are targeting your employees with COVID-19-inspired emails and attacking businesses like yours. Hi, Mark Sommerfeld from Rimark. Rimark has the tools and expertise to enable your employees to work securely from home. If you need help getting your staff to work remotely and securely, call 651-328-8900 or go to RimarkIT.com. That's 651-328-8900 or RimarkIT.com.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for sunny skies today with a high near 84. Tonight clear with a low around 65. And Wednesday sunny with a high near 83. Scotch Mama's offers a huge taste out of a little place. Besides their delicious barbecue, they have potato salad, spicy baked beans, twice baked potatoes, and delicious desserts. Located at 3 West Diamond Lake Road near the intersection of Nicollet Avenue and West Diamond Lake Road in Minneapolis, find their winter hours and full menu at scotchamamas.com.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. So, I'll tell you what, let's get Penny in. Penny is in Minneapolis. She wanted to chime in on Charles Schulz. Welcome on in, Penny.
Hi, Matt. I totally agree with you about Charles Schulz. I think rather than a grudge, I was a lifelong follower like you were. I think it's more of a hurt. I think his work shows he was a very emotional, sensitive person, all his characters. And I think it, I don't think it's a grudge. I think at that year, when you're that age, it was an emotional pain to him. And I also wonder what high school he went to. Just curious.
I'm not sure the high school, but will I say, Penny, if I can add, though, you're right. I think it was emotion early on, which caused him to leave. But when you keep these letters from all these other yearbooks, and thanks, Penny, I appreciate the phone call. When you keep all these letters from all these other yearbooks who asked you for drawings, just to keep a list of how many people asked you for drawings after your school didn't put it in there, that's when it kind of merges and becomes a grudge. I don't think he necessarily was. I think he was, frankly, I think there is a few pictures there. You can see he's kind of flattered by all this, the love from Minnesota. And I think part of that is the fact that, you know, he, you know, it's it wasn't like he was out there giving a, you know, a Walt Whitman-esque speech on, as the truck left out of the city. You know, it wasn't. It was, you know, I think he was just kind of surprised how much it resonated. But, you know, he did leave. And I mean, he left early in the career. And so by the time you get to, I mean, well, is it 58 he moved away? They didn't have the Christmas special. It was 62. So pretty much the height of the popularity, he wasn't a Minnesota cartoonist. He was a California cartoonist. And I think that I think Cunningham was once again right. I think a lot of that him leaving was to do with, you know, he just didn't like how he had been treated at some points in the city. And just, but I think some of that, when you store all the letters of all the people that asked you for yearbook drawings later on in life, just so you can look at them and kind of say, see, my school didn't want to put my drawings in there. I think it kind of becomes a grudge. So 952-946-6205, still love them. Now, that was on Friday. Saturday, I wanted to get out of town a little bit. I love the city. Like I said, did the Minnesota Zoo, did the Minnesota History Museum, went to Cassetta's chicken parm sandwich. Very solid choice there. I had fun in the city, but I like sometimes to get out and drive around because it doesn't take you, A, that long to drive to get out of the city, and B, there's some really cool towns around in outstate Minnesota. Whereas I'm not like a Republican, I refuse to go in the city. Those people are going to be mean to me. No. Minneapolis is brilliant. I love being in Minneapolis. But I also will go out to conservative rural areas because there's a lot of gems out there. And I was looking, and I went out, because I like history, I went out and I said, well, you know what? I've never been to the Mayo House in Le Sueur. And wait a second. Right down the street from there in St. Peter is the Traverse des Sioux treaty site. And I've driven past that a bunch of times, but I've never been. I'll get to that in a second. First of all, the Mayo House. Drive down there. Le Sueur, I want to put a challenge out to everyone out there. Okay, the craziest thing about the Mayo House in Le Sueur is not the fact that, you know, the Mayo family lived there. And it's a quirky little house. It's a quirky little place there right in downtown Le Sueur. And the family lived there early on. This was the dad. The two sons were the ones that really brought the Mayo Clinic to prominence. One of the sons was born there. The other son was born in Rochester, but this was the Mayo House as it stood in Le Sueur for the 6 years. I think it was 6 years they lived in that town. Might have been less. Might have been four. But anyway, it was worthwhile going through. The craziest part about the history of that house is about 40 years later, the Cosgrove family moves into the house. The Cosgrove family were part of the group that started the Green Giant Corporation. And as I'm going through this house, I said, has there ever been another house where, the Green Giant Corporation, I believe, was started when they lived in the house, but they started living there before Green Giant. Was there ever a house which ever housed two other families who were such icons of business later on in life? Because the Mayo family left and went to Rochester, and that was kind of the beginning of their journey down in Rochester. But the fact that this house saw the Mayo family and the family that helped found Green Giant, and I don't get the impression that the Cosgrove family bought it because it was the Mayo house. They just bought a house. That is nuts. That is nuts. I was stunned by that. It's worth going down there. I had a fantastic little tour guide that she was, she took the time. I mean, I don't think there's a lot of people that come through for the historic tours. But she took the time to really go through everything, and it was really quite nice. And the house is quite interesting. Got to watch your head in a few spots, that's for sure. So, and that's just down in Le Sueur. That's what, 45 minutes out of the city if you're on the southwest side of town. So off you go. The Traverse des Sioux Historic Site. That is a very different type of historic site. The Nicollet, I think it's the Nicollet County Historical Society, actually runs the museum on the site that the Minnesota Historical Society's portion of it is just the trail that you take out into what was this town that was basically just north of St. Peter that existed before St. Peter. And it was one of the earliest towns in the state. I mean, it really was, and it was actually a gridded street and all these things. The museum that you go through, and I'm going to say this is actually a complimentary statement, as much as it's probably not going to sound like it is. That museum is the biggest freaking Jekyll and Hyde museum I've ever been in my life. And it starts off with the ugly. It talks about how the white Europeans robbed the Native Americans. And it's interesting because a few months back, I went to Fort Ridgely, which is where the Dakota War of 1862 started, really. I mean, well, it started down at the Lower Sioux Agency, and then there was another attack, and then the major attack at Fort Ridgely. And that was the beginning of that conflict. These things did not happen independently, though. What this museum does, and when I talk about we have a long way to go to get reconciliation for what the hell happened, you've got to understand what the white Europeans did to the Native Americans. And this sham of a treaty that they put through was, okay, so at the time of this is the treaty was 1851. I say that because there is the actual site of the treaty is got a stone on it. And marking the site of the Treaty of Travis de Sioux, July 23rd, 1851. White Europeans had basically been emboldened by Andrew Jackson, that tyrant, who, when the Supreme Court ruled against him in regards to Native American land rights, he basically said, you've got your ruling, now enforce it. And he ordered the military to forcibly remove the Native Americans from their land, the Trail of Tears that went across the country. And what basically it set the standard for was that the U.S. government, sure, some people felt bad. And let's be honest, they all knew what was going on. They all knew it. Some of them felt bad, but sure as hell, none of them were going to stop it. Not a single one was going to stop it. And this, and they basically felt, you know, well, the president and the Congress, they're just going to ignore the Supreme Court anyway, so we'll just do what we want to do. Now, setting up this treaty, you have basically, what this treaty did is give pretty much most of southern Minnesota, it went much further north on the western border up to Moorhead, but basically was up to about Hastings, Minneapolis, St. Paul on the eastern side. For the most part, the entire southern part of the state, that the United States took control of that territory. In turn, the Native Americans were supposed to receive a massive payout from the federal government for the land. They were supposed to, as well, get equipment, livestock, goods, help basically building up what was supposed to be Native American territory, which ran the Minnesota River to the Dakota border. And it was supposed to be their territory. That was the case. Now, once again, we're talking treaties here. Treaties supersede the Constitution. So this was what they were supposed to get. They gave up their rights to most of southern Minnesota. They in turn got this stretch of land that was going to be their land. And it was going to be their land forever. There was an amazing amount of dishonesty in the people that were dealing with the Native Americans. as one point in this museum talks about, there's clearly people that were taking advantage of them, where they were getting paid $2,000 a year, which is a pretty good salary back then, but had hundreds of thousands of dollars in the bank. So they clearly were ripping people off. They figured out that they could earn the trust of the Native Americans if they offered up a trade that was accepted, and many of them did, and in turn ended up marrying Native Americans and becoming pseudo part of the tribe per se. It was these people that basically pushed the Native Americans to sign this treaty, not because it was good for the Native Americans, but it was going to make a heck of a lot of money for a lot of other people. At the same time, the white Europeans were fraudulently basically running up massive debt to the Native Americans, many of them not even knowing how much, you know, that they were even in debt. But because they basically set things up, they created massive debt. It was just lie after lie after lie. The white settlers who became part of the tribe and were trusted by the tribe finally talked the tribes into giving up their land rights for southern Minnesota. In turn, they would get this their reservation territory that was going to be on the Minnesota River. That was going to be their land, tons of money and stuff like this. They sent the people on out. This is the treaty they signed at this site. They signed this treaty. The Native Americans signed on this treaty. Here's where this gets even crazier on how bad of a deceit this was. First of all, I'm just looking at the clock here. I got to get a break in. Let me get this break in really quick, and then I'll finish out the story and tell you why you have to go down there and why we still desperately need to make amends for how the Native Americans were treated, because they were just ripped off left and right. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950. I love my Toyota vehicles, so when it's time for me to get my service done, there's only one place I go, Rudy Luther Toyota. They know Toyotas inside and out. It starts with them checking your alignment and tire treads with their Hunter Quick Check Drive Inspection Service. Oil changes, tires, batteries, wipers, no matter what you need done, they can help you with reliable Toyota parts and the best service team in Minnesota. Check out their website, RudyLutherToyota.com, for service and parts specials just for Toyota vehicles. Get your Toyota serviced at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Next time on Philosophy Talk, what has replaced Freud?
Sigmund Freud popularized the idea that we can have unconscious thoughts and desires.
But Freud was certainly no scientist, and his particular views have mostly been abandoned.
So are newer theories about automatic systems or implicit attitudes any more scientific?
Or are you just saying that because you hate your father?
What has replaced Freud? Next time on Philosophy Talk.
Philosophy Talk, every Sunday at 8 a.m. on AM 950.
Would you let animals pick your insurance? Do you really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks and call Cheryl at Array, 763-504-3067 or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
Hello, this is Ellie Krug with Ellie 2.0 Radio. Now my show will be on Saturdays from 10 to 11 and replayed on Sundays from 1 to 2. You will get to the best of Ellie 2.0 with talking about idealism, with guests who come in and who are idealistic, who are trying to change the world, and you will get me, super idealist. Tune in. We can't wait to hear from you, and you'll hear from me Saturdays from 10 to 11.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. So basically, we're at the treaty signing in 1851. They've been tricked basically by people into trying to sign this treaty, thinking they're going to get all these benefits. There's a whole bunch of people who know this is going to happen, who basically have run up fake debt on the Native Americans. They set up one table where they're signing the treaty. This was illegal to do, by the way. They set up another table where basically the money was handed out to the people who were their debtor, the creditors, who basically said they were in debt for this much money. And there was basically no way to verify how much it was. And funny story, the people who were the creditors basically said they owed as much as the federal government had promised to pay them. So right off the bat, they were cheated out of all the money that they were basically supposed to get for this treaty by people who basically made up the fake debts, but because no one was really going to stop them from doing it, they did it. And as a matter of fact, there's a lot of people in Washington, D.C. who said, oh, this shouldn't have happened. They tried to hold someone accountable, but they eventually said, ah, you're fine. It was horrible. Then they take that treaty. Now, once again, this is a signed treaty. This is supposed to supersede the Constitution. The Congress alters the treaty, takes away the land that they are supposed to get on the Minnesota River, basically says they're living on our land, so doesn't even recognize the fact that a major contingency of this treaty was they were going to have that land permanently. The Congress basically said, no, they don't. We own that land, and said that they could only live there for 5 years. Now, once again, this is after they signed the treaty. They went through and changed the treaty. What you end up having is the beginning of the cataclysm, which was the Native Americans finally saying enough. Many of them didn't want to trust the federal government at the Travis DeSue signing. They didn't want to, and they were tricked into doing it by people they trusted who were only in it for the massive amount of land windfall money they were going to receive for basically buying up a bunch of land and then selling it to new European immigrants moving out there, trying to control the growth in the community. From all this, and then the federal government basically took the land away from them, basically was trying to tell them they were going to have to move, was not giving them the supplies that they said they were need, were not going to give them the grain. Whenever they did give them something, it was broken or a diseased cow. They were starving them to death, and boom, finally, 1862, the Native Americans said, enough's enough. Not because the Native Americans were unreasonable. My God, they were, frankly, far more patient than I'd be in that situation. But because they were being killed by these people who basically vilified them constantly with narratives that just did not exist so that they could do what they were doing. Destroying them, destroying their culture, stealing their land, and never even paying them back for what they owned. I said that this Nicollet County Museum is the most Jekyll and Hyde museum I've ever seen in my life. You start in this museum and you go through this history and you feel dark and you realize, holy God, what an absolute disgusting thing that's happened here. The rest of the museum talks about the various areas of the county and the great farmers that have been there. And I'm like, the dichotomy of those two things was really hard. Oh, you mean the white farmers that basically took the Native American land? Okay, yeah, all right, sure. They're longtime farmers. Let's congratulate Chet and Mabel. All right, yay, good job, Chet and Mabel. We'll just skip past that whole we screwed over the Native Americans to get the land, but Chet and Mabel, everybody. Wow. I'm not saying that you shouldn't go to it. You should, because if you feel like I am, you're going to be wildly uncomfortable at the end of it, because you're going to be saying to yourself, holy God, we have got to do something here to make amends for this. We have got to do something. And granted, I am a white guy. I've come up with the idea of a national sales tax on every purchase in this country to build up a pool of money that goes to the Native Americans and reparations to the slaves. No one would miss the money. It'd be like 1/100th of a cent and it'd make some money. But at the same time, it's not my place to tell them what they should take. They should have a lot of say in that. Hour two, that's coming up next.
Are your remote workers putting your company at risk? Not sure what steps to take to secure your data? Hi, Mark Sommerfeld from Rimark.
The Reimark team is guiding our clients through these difficult times. In fact, demand has been so high, we created an easy-to-follow guide with the 5 steps to securely work from home. It's yours free. Download our 5 steps to securely work from home now at RemarkIT.com or call 651-328-8900 for a no-cost how-to discussion.
Hi, I'm Scott Peterson with the Minnesota News Network, inviting you to join us this week for Minnesota Matters, a news, entertainment, and sports show covering everything that matters in the North Star State. Tune us in right here or at your convenience at MinnesotaNewsNetwork.com.
Listen to Minnesota Matters every weekend, Sunday mornings at 6:30 on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC.